Welcome to Waveframe. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Waveframe Podcast, the podcast where we talk about music and movies and some TV shows like today. My name is Luke.
And my name is Isaac, and we have a few things to plug before we dive into Obi-Wan Kenobi. We like to plug our Instagram. It's at Waveframe Pod. And we also, we put some art up there. We put some covers up there, but you should also check out Lin.theboy, because Luke is working on his album. He's putting out some cool insider looks into the tracks. He just released a few weeks ago his acoustic version of Amy, a really good song that he wrote. So look forward to that album coming out.
Thanks, Isaac.
Of course.
We didn't even talk about that plug. You just did that of your own accord.
Is there anything else we should plug? Try to give us a 5-star review and we will read it out. If you have it on iTunes or whatever app you're using.
And then do something to take care of yourself. When you listen to this, just make a note and do that. That's totally important.
It's a hot day out. Put your feet in ice cold water. Just to lower the body temperature a little bit. I think you deserve it.
You definitely deserve it.
That's our plug. That's our shout out. Also, we have other Star Wars episodes available. One of our first ones was Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, wow.
Which was a while ago.
When it came out, the night of.
Yeah, the night of. And we have episodes 1, 2, and 3 available. And we did an episode on The Mandalorian Season 2. And so check those out if you're here for some more Star Wars
stuff. We love
talking
Star Wars.
Of course. Who doesn't?
Who doesn't, really?
There's probably lots of people. So yeah, we're going to be talking about Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
We're recording this on a Friday, and it came out on Wednesday, so it's kind of fresh, but we've had a few days to think about it. We watched episode 1 and episode 6 together, kind of a bookend sort of deal. Yeah. So how are you feeling about it at this point?
So I've been reflecting on this, and I think that, you know, I do view this show overall positively. I'm really glad it exists, and I've had such a fun time watching it. And I think that, you know, I was trying to label, like, what is maybe the top special quality that I enjoy about this. And
yeah,
it's really, I was thinking, it's kind of one of the first times that we've seen in Star Wars, them as they're putting out new material now, years after the originals and the prequels were released, that we see a character that we know and love, and they're not CGI'd or they're untouched, and they're pretty, you know, it's just a true continuation of their story. We saw that a little bit with Boba Fett, but he didn't really have much of a character before. And there's some other issues
with
that show.
And some would argue that he didn't in his own show.
Yeah, and some would argue, many would argue that he didn't in his own show, including us. So this is like the first time I think that it's really does feel like reliving the characters that we grew up with for the first time. And that is truly something that's special. And yeah, I'm thankful that the show exists and gave us that.
Yeah, I mean, for a little bit of context, we got Grand Moff Tarkin completely CGI in Rogue One. We also had Leia at the end of Rogue One CGI redoing because she was older and I think maybe had passed away at that point.
Yeah.
And we had Luke Skywalker at the end of Season 2 of Mandalorian.
Weird CGI.
AI. Yeah, like deep fake. So we've had a lot of people come back, but you're right, in that changed visage.
And even if they're unchanged, like in the sequel trilogy, we get Luke and Leia and Han, Chewie and Lando, and Wedge Antilles for a few frames, and Nia Nub for a few frames. But like there is such a distance in their age that it does feel very detached. Whereas Obi-Wan, he's still within an acceptable range that he's playing a character that is 10 years older. And is 10 years older in real life, totally, about it too. So it works out.
It helps that he doesn't age very much. Because I think
he's just a good looking guy.
The age gap between, he's supposed to be a little bit older in the Star Wars, I think, but it works. It totally works. So you're saying you appreciated R2-D2 and C-3PO in the sequels because they look the same.
They look the same. And C-3PO in Episode 9 is the best version we've ever seen of C-3PO.
He totally is. Why is he so funny? I don't know what they did, but they did him right in that movie.
So how about you? What have you been thinking about?
Well, I was I was also contemplating upon this show. Am I speaking from a point of and a place of gratefulness and trying to see all the good in the world, or am I speaking from a point of cynicism? Because I feel like I'm of two minds in this show.
Yeah.
I felt like as I was watching it, I would be like, oh my word, this is amazing. There's a litmus test or a barometer that sometimes I think about. I haven't really talked about it much, but when I watch a Star Wars thing, does it make me want to watch more of the Star Wars or less of the Star Wars? Because when I finished Mandalorian Season 2, I wanted less of the Star Wars,
really?
And I didn't want to revisit it. When I finished this, I was like, I kind of want to watch A New Hope right now. And so, like, I think overall I'm kind of positive, but my mind was battling against itself. It was like, why is there so much just unnecessary filler, and I don't really care about Leia as a young kid? I think it's not the worst thing ever. I don't think it's the best thing ever. And like Obi-Wan's friend who turned from the Empire over to saving Jedi, I forget her name, but she's in Game of Thrones and she's in Luther. And she was like good, but just like a flash in the pan. And you know she's not going to be in anything else. And so we were talking about Revenge of the Sith in our previous episode, and Jordan was like, you can't talk about one movie without talking about all of the movies. And I kind of feel that way about this. It's like, are we reviewing six episodes of Obi-Wan Kenobi, or are we reviewing one puzzle piece of a bigger puzzle? And for me, it's like, I love some elements of this, but I'm rambling at this point, but another question I ask myself is, do I try to appreciate what I have in front of me, this six episodes on Disney Plus, or do I ruminate upon how I would have done it differently and how I would have changed so many things?
Yeah. Well, and that's the risk of taking, you know, the downside of what I was kind of saying as a silver lining earlier. We've had so much time to sit with this character that we love, and we all have our own maybe like, you know, not necessarily extensive, but we have ideas of what he's like, what he's doing, and like these headcanons. And then also, you know, there's, you know, non-canon material now to draw from that's legends. And so when you're engaging with this so much later, when people have these really solidified ideas of what a character should be, you're going to take that away from some people. And that was like something to get over in the show, and something that I still, you know, if I were to think about changing things, I don't love, let's say, the arc that they set Obi-Wan. I get why they did it, but they give him the arc of, you know, this Jedi who's totally lost faith and is wandering lost pretty much.
Yeah.
And then he regains that over the course of the show, and he kind of finds himself again. And for us, that's hard to see, maybe for those of us who have always seen Obi-Wan as this person who's in a way like the best of the Jedi, and the more the best of the Jedi order. Even he's structured, he's balanced, but also he's not you know, maybe like a Ki Adi Mundi criticism of, you know, the stoic, you know, unfeeling person. He seems
consistent.
Yeah, and he's consistent. And so to see him for that time, this one character that we felt like, oh, he's got it at least. Like we can, like, he's that rock for us. To see him in that dark place is like, what are you doing to my boy? Like, how dare you put him through this? And like, this isn't what he's supposed to be. But also, you know, realistically, in his situation, most any person would be going what he's going through and lose that faith. So it makes sense.
So you're saying it makes sense, but you'd prefer something else. What would you have preferred?
I think that I would have really enjoyed having just him more. The idea of maybe him on the run, or maybe interacting more, even less with Vader, but more just with Tatooine. You know, we joked as we were watching, I kind of hoped we would see him making the crate dragon sound
or whatever sound he makes.
But like, see him, you know, interacting with Tusken Raiders, you know, ground it a bit more, show more of him trying to communicate with Qui-Gon. I would have loved for Qui-Gon to be more a part of this series. And I think that that's a criticism that I have. And of Disney probably as a whole now these days is they've really started to give us a little bit of these fan servicey moments. Doctor Strange, you know, got John Krasinski as Reed Richards, you know, which was all fan led. People were like, give us Qui-Gon, you know, and they put him in, but it's not in satisfying ways. I would have preferred that Qui-Gon wasn't in the show at all,
really,
as opposed to what they did. It's like, you know what we want, and you're not giving us actually like, to compare it to something, I'm going to pause here a moment because I forget what I was going to pair it. You can keep it rolling.
You're good.
What was I going to compare it to? Nuts. Fuck. Oh, I got it. Compare it to something like No Way Home, though, which is something I think that did it really well with Spider-Man. Everybody wanted Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, and they didn't bring them in just for a scene or for a quick cameo, but they were actually integral to the development and the plot of the story, you know? Yeah. And I get you have to work with the actors for that, and maybe Liam Neeson didn't want to come back for more, or maybe he was too expensive, whatever. But, you know, if you're going to give us those things that we want, go all the way. Don't just tease us like that and say, oh, we did it. Look, we did it for you. Yeah. And then peace out without actually putting in the work to make it a good part of the show.
Yeah, it's a tease and it's not a follow through. And so that's almost worse than not getting it at all. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in my like gratefulness state of being, I'm like, oh, that was a cool line they gave to Qui-Gon, saying that he was there the whole time. You just had to, you know, be ready to see him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, that's like resonant with a lot of like spiritual thinking.
You know, pastors and Bible teachers are already going to be showing that scene to their classrooms.
Exactly. And I mean, it's got a little like spark of truth, but when you said, I want season two to be a podcast series where Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon are just talking together about just like, I don't know, the world and life, I was like, oh, I do want that.
Give us some wrestling with existential questions of the Jedi Order and
seriously,
good and evil.
Yeah. So I feel like, would it be fair to say that a mixed bag for you?
Yeah, that is definitely fair. I think that, you know, and again, you know, you said it well with, ultimately we have the choice to approach it with a glass half full and be grateful for what we were able to get. And there are things that are really enjoyable about this. Some really fun, like some lightsaber things. Yeah. You know, I think, and I think that you share the sentiment, Vader was pretty quality throughout this, and that was great. Yeah. So there are so many great things, and it's just hard to sort through that. And you know, when something is such a mixed bag of, you know, things also then that you didn't like about that. You know, there were maybe some other character arcs, and Reva, the actor Moses Ingram, has taken such hate, which is so awful, for the way that her character has been written. And some of that is just true people being racist and being awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also some of it, you know, my opinion, her character, not super great to
not
me.
The
so
best.
It's like there's so much room for development there. So yeah, I just wish that there was more consistency throughout it.
I feel like a lot of times when people have nitpicks or thoughts or like, I'm a mixed bag on this, for me, where it drops the ball usually is in the emotional payoff and the emotional through line. And I feel like for Obi-Wan and Anakin / Darth Vader, we got a nice emotional payoff.
Good. Yeah.
Even though there's always asterisks. You know, it's like he didn't kill him again, which for continuity's sake is fine. But with Reva, I felt like her best episode was the last episode, and yet it wasn't emotionally satisfying because it felt kind of slapdash and like, why didn't Darth Vader kill her and blah, blah, blah. So I feel like emotionally, I would have liked a lot more from this show. Because Leia is a good kid actress. She was charming at times. She grew on me a little bit. But
started rough. We were in a dark place after episode two.
It was not great after episode two. And every episode I was like, oh, she's still in this show. Okay. All right.
Which you did call. I said, like, I'm like, well, she's going to be in this episode, and then hopefully they'll turn her, and it'll be fine. And you're like, no, she's going to be in the rest of the show.
Well, I mean, I something that people have really been noting about the Disney stuff is that it's usually, and you've talked about this, it's usually a mentor person with, like, a young
I'm so sick of them taking care of kids.
Baby or something, yeah. Which, like, from a marketing standpoint, is probably pretty genius, because then kids can probably be like, that's just like me.
That can be me.
Obi-Wan can take care of me. Leia's not Obi-Wan's dad, but maybe he's my dad. Yeah. it's come to a point where everyone's got their opinion. Everyone has grown up with the movies, and everyone's at a different age, and they're still trying, because, like, from a money perspective, it's best to cater to young kids because mm-hmm. then you can get them to be lifelong. Mm-hmm. That's when they're really influential.
Impressionable.
Yeah, exactly. You can get them to be lifelong customers.
To grow up and make podcasts about it.
Exactly.
20 years later.
Free marketing. We're doing free marketing right now. We're helping Disney.
You're welcome, Disney. We're part of your machine.
Yes. Give us money. So, you know, that's all my cynical brain and everything like that. But I think that the fact that it didn't make me mad is pretty impressive. Like, it didn't,
we always love that.
It didn't make me mad that it was connecting to these movies I love, like A New Hope and Empire mm-hmm. Strikes Back. And I think it'd be great. You mentioned a few things that you really loved about it. What are other things that we loved about it? Because we could have a whole laundry list mm-hmm. of things we don't like about it, but I feel like it's more fun to talk about what we did mm-hmm. like about it.
I loved Hayden Christensen's inserts, whether that be brief flashbacks or, you know, him brooding on a hill and Obi-Wan is seeing this visage of him. I wouldn't have minded more haunting things like
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear you talk more about, too, what landed for you about... I think a highlight of the show was Darth Vader. And then that last scene did have some really great things when it came to the emotional payoff between the two characters.
Yeah. I think Hayden Christensen, I'm choosing to be happy for all the stuff we did get with him, even though I wanted so bad way more Clone Wars flashbacks.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been amazing. That would have been so cool. But we have the Clone Wars, so that's fine. But so a lot of people have been talking, if they're super fans, about the lightsabers and how they're used in a lot more dark scenarios.
They're very glowy.
They're very glowy because, like, as the years have gone on, you can have them be practically glowing during the actual filming instead of like it was in the originals where it's an after effect. It's mm-hmm. it's put in post. And so, yeah, I've watched a lot of videos on that.
I'm so glad you did because I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
And I thought it might be that, but now you confirmed it.
I'm so
thrilled.
So, like, they used to rotoscope it in. They used to, like, put, mm-hmm. like, foil around it in the original 1977. And then actually sometimes... There's all different techniques depending on which movie you're looking at. But you almost, like, take out part of the actual film and then it would, like, create this glowing effect. Nowadays, you can have pretty much... something that's a high-tech version of what you get at a Toys R Us, but that's out of business. Any store like Walmart where it glows, except you know you make it look better in post,
mm-hmm.
but it glows like a real lightsaber would as they're filming in real time. So a lot of people might find this to be jarring because, for example, Empire Strikes Back, you have Luke and Vader fighting in these dark places inside the Death Star. Wait, no, Bespin. Wait, where are they?
Cloud City.
Yeah, Cloud City. And it's not glowing up their faces.
Mm-hmm.
And it started happening in the prequels where you had CGI characters, fully CGI characters like Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could cast that on him. And even Count Dooku and Anakin.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's in episode 2, that scene is phenomenal with the glow lighting up their faces.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and so you can do a lot of thematic things with it. And that was one of my favorite things about this last episode was that you got to play with that with the fact that you could see Hayden Christensen's face because of the... Oh, we're doing spoilers, I guess. Spoilers. You should watch the show. and you can see his face. And, I mean, I would have to rewatch it to really analyze it. But you get to see the blue glow on his face and the red glow on his face.
It switches, yeah.
And it's this iconic imagery that's not subtle at all. Mm-hmm. But it's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's been there since day one. And you get to see it again... It's like poetry in A New Hope. So that was really cool for me. And then Vader's been pretty consistent voice-wise as in contrast to Rogue One, where his voice sounded like a lot older mm-hmm. and different.
Because James Earl Jones was actually voicing it still, as opposed to this was mostly composited with AI, right?
I think that it was. I think you're right. And I think maybe they were able to use some stuff from the past, but... I'm guessing they put James Earl Jones still in the booth to mm-hmm. voice these things. It's just, AI was like making it sound like it used to
better.
In the 70s and 80s. Yeah. So I thought he sounded really good, even if I guess I will always be a purist and think that his voice in the original sounds the best. But the fact that you were able to hear Hayden and Vader together was so awesome. And yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell if this was like, you know, kind of surface level fan service or if it was good characterization. But the fact that I think it's good characterization, even though I am a fan, Darth Vader was saying like, I killed Anakin. Mm-hmm. And that kind of like lets some of the pressure off of Obi-Wan.
Well, because yeah, there's, I've already seen memes about it. Probably you have too. Maybe you even shared one of them with me. And there's the scene of Luke and Obi-Wan talking in episode 6. And he's like, you told me Vader betrayed and murdered my father. And it's like, yeah, it's like literally what he told me.
yes. Which is super nice. And it also makes sense why in the moment Obi-Wan would call him Darth. Mm-hmm. And then he says that later.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like little things for fans where it's, in my opinion, this last episode did a lot of fan service, but in a way that made sense for the characters. Like Obi-Wan saying hello there. It's like, yeah, whatever. Fine, yeah. Like
that one's fine and
that's,
small.
That's good.
Well, and you just mentioned him calling him Darth. One thing I did really like about the show is it did seem to connect the dots for a lot of things that, you know, I was saying as Obi-Wan was lifting all these rocks and pummeling Darth Vader with them. I'm like, that is something that we've seen in video games, or like we see other, like maybe Rey lift a bunch of rocks. And at the time, some of that was kind of new power. So we were like, why is Rey so overpowered? And now we're like, oh, look, Obi-Wan did it. There's more precedence for this. Like it gives more care for that.
Yeah.
And I think that there were a lot of those really nice things along the way. I feel like Obi-Wan borrowed a lot from the show, borrowed some things.
It did.
You know, for being a Force Unleashed fan, and others have made these parallels as well. There's in the trailer, which is incredible for the Force Unleashed 2, there's a scene where Starkiller has his blue lightsabers and he's in the dark killing stormtroopers and he lights up his lightsaber, gets them, then he turns it off and fades back into the darkness. And we saw Obi-Wan do that. We saw him hitting stormtroopers multiple times with lightsabers, which again, I don't know, maybe gives credibility to games when you have to hit them multiple times to kill them.
There you go.
That's kind of silly, but I'm like, oh, okay. Other things that it borrowed from, well, like with Darth Vader's mask coming off, like you mentioned, which was such a cool moment. Also, you know, that happens in some really cool fight scenes in The Force Unleashed, but more recently in Star Wars Rebels when he's duels with Ahsoka. So now he's had two duels with his former master and former apprentice, and they've both taken off chunks of his mask. And so I don't want to say it's just a straight-up copycat of that, because there were things that were different about this, and I'll say this one hit really well, just like the Rebels one hit really well. Ahsoka realizes in that moment that it's Anakin, when she does not know that until he says Ahsoka after his mask comes off. And then this is, you know, Obi-Wan gets maybe the full picture of Anakin is dead now, and Darth Vader is the one who's there and remains. So I think that it's a really good tool that they've used that over time, and I'm okay that happened again.
Same, yeah. And one of the positive way of viewing it for me is that one of the cool things about Star Wars is that you get to explore all this force and technology throughout the series. Everybody will bring their own ideas to it. So like when Rey throws the lightsaber over to Kylo and he like quick turns it on and then turns it off, it's like, oh yeah, why wouldn't you do that? Like, that's awesome. That's so cool. And so it's like evolving. You get to see fans become directors and then create this stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's actually pretty cool. So yeah, overall, like I feel like I wish there was maybe more Vader stuff. It's cool in the comics where you get to see inside his head and his thoughts and kind of like what he's like, not posturing as this war general or like wanting that power kind of facade. I guess it's not really a facade most of the time, but so I like maybe would have preferred a little bit more of that, because I want to see as much of Vader as I can, because he's such a fascinating character. But you never know. Disney will probably milk another thing and make a Vader series like I've been wanting forever. Was there anything else that like stood out to you? Like, oh, this is really cool to see.
Well, I think that you just mentioned the getting inside Vader's head. And I think that as much as we would have loved more Hayden Christensen, the way that they contained it to mostly that one flashback, and then ultimately it wasn't just a flashback that's supposed to make you build sympathy for the characters, it was a flashback that helped guide us in the reality that they were in right now. And the way that they intercut it throughout that episode with Obi-Wan and Vader reading each other and being like, you know, they're strategizing and making plays because they're like, no, they're going to do this. And they tie that into this duel that they're having back in the day. I just think that I was thrilled with that flashback. And I think that, you know, that it was really powerful and it worked really well as a narrative tool and not just as a fan service. This is what they want to see.
Oh, definitely. That was one of my favorite parts of the series. And it felt a little bit like I learned once that in Attack of the Clones, they added the elevator scene where Anakin and Obi-Wan talked about like saving each other's lives. And he's like the nest of gun dogs and like that doesn't count and blah, 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 all that stuff. They added that to like add more to the rapport and the friendship between them, and I really like that they added that. This felt like another way of doing that, mm-hmm. making the prequels better and mm-hmm. like seeing some insights into their characters. And I think something that not a lot of people are talking about is that this show, in my opinion, made the prequels better and the originals better. Maybe not astronomically, but like mm-hmm. a little bit better because it kind of bridges the gap between the two. Mm-hmm. And personally, I like this fight in episode 6 between Vader and Obi-Wan probably a little bit better than the Revenge of the Sith final Mustafar battle. I think the music's way better in Mustafar.
Can't be Battle of the Heroes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Way better.
Except with Duel of the Fates.
And the lines like are really good in Revenge of the Sith, and I think that the lines have a little bit more like finality and weight to them.
And they mirrored some of them, but with slight tweaks that did show the development.
Obi-Wan's like, I will do what I must. Yeah.
And then Vader says, instead of you will try, he says, then you will die instead. So it's like, oh. Pretty cool.
So it's not like I like one and I don't like the other. I like both of them. But my big gripe with the Mustafar battle is that it's so long. Mm-hmm. And it's so like why do you have them fighting on ropes, swinging, and on like a balancing beam and on a climbing up a big thing? And after a while I'm like, okay, whatever, like just get to the point. And the final ending of that battle is like amazing, iconic, and classic. Mm-hmm. But this one felt like it wasn't too long. Mm-hmm. I liked the choreography. I think it could have been a little bit better. And like the bird's eye views, I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that right now. Like where you get to see them from right above them. And it's like, what? So I have like mixed feelings about it, but I feel like it wasn't too long. And my biggest gripe about it was that I think we both agree Obi-Wan could have used better motivation to get out of the rocks.
They gave him 2 flashbacks of the twins and they're like, oh yeah, easy peasy.
Yeah.
He didn't even struggle at all.
And like it would have been great to see him like now, I'm just thinking of this now, like bleeding or you know, thinking about other people he loved. Like I would have preferred Qui-Gon to be there.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Yeah, as we were watching, we talked about that. Yeah. And that could have been a really powerful, you know, you know, I don't know, maybe there's something to take away that you need the serenity to be able to commune with them, but also, you know, in his darkest hour, totally. Qui-Gon could have been that pivot in the arc that helped him do that.
Yeah, and I don't know, Obi-Wan has other people he loves or other things he could think about. It just seemed a little too easy, which it didn't ruin the fight at all for me. And I also thought what would have been a really cool scene is Qui-Gon showing up to Vader and seeing
that would have been so powerful.
What that would have been like.
That would have been so powerful.
Because he saw him at the very beginning and was the one who believed in him and blah, blah, blah. So it feels like, as much as I'm saying I'm trying to be positive, like there are such missed opportunities, I feel like, in this.
And I get they wanted to save a lot of the emotional. It's Obi-Wan's show. So you want to save the emotion for Vader and Obi-Wan. But wow, Anakin has a boy who had more of a relationship with Qui-Gon at the beginning. Yeah. And Qui-Gon, you know, we talked about this a lot in our episode 1 Phantom Menace episode of the podcast, that you know, what would have been like for Qui-Gon to train him if he hadn't died instead of Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And to have Qui-Gon show up and be a Force ghost and call him out on his crap, like that could have been such, and you could have seen Vader get, you know, frustrated over that and like the self-loathing that's a part of that, but also like anger at Qui-Gon for maybe he's got some abandonment issues because of that and stuff. So it's just like there could have been, that could have been an incredible foil. And I hope there's probably some fan fiction out there somewhere, but somebody should write that and make it awesome, and then we can read it and be like, oh yeah, yeah, that's great.
That would have been really cool and a highlight for me. As far as Disney's classifying this as a quote unquote limited series, but you know, Disney's
with
Disney.
Rumors of season two already.
Yeah, being exactly. So. What is your thoughts on season two?
I really hope that they don't. I think that they've given us, you know, how many adventures can Obi-Wan have gone on in his time?
Seriously, he needs some time to relax.
Yeah. If anything, I
he needs to build up his credit.
I would be he's got to buy a house instead of a cave. I would not be opposed to him showing up in another show. I with limited guests.
With that show,
I'd be okay with him, cameoing. I think it would be cool, although then we'd have to see younger Ahsoka, and that would be weird. I have a feeling I wouldn't like that. But maybe if we saw Cal Kestis from Fallen Order make his way into live action, or in the video games, if we saw an animated version of Obi-Wan in the video games, I would really like that combination. I think that could be a cool meetup. And I'd like to see Obi-Wan, you know, he, after turning away that Jedi in the first opening of the show, he turns away the Jedi, and then at the end you more see him. Right. He comes along his more mentorship side with Reva at the end even. I think it'd be cool to see him act as more of a waypoint figure that... And we see that with him and Ezra in Rebels when Ezra finds him right before he confronts Maul. And I would like to see maybe some of that more mentorship role before we... That would help flesh out his character to get him to episode 4, Alec Guinness Obi-Wan.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I really hope they don't do a season 2 also. I think... I think they could do it well. I just don't believe they would do it well necessarily. I think Cal Kestis might be the most promising person to bring in my opinion. I don't know. I almost wish that this show was a little less like plot-y and a little bit more, I don't know the right word for it, but contemplative or spiritual or experimental. Like he's having dreams or visions or whatever in the desert, and he was doing a lot of stuff in this, and I wish that maybe there's like, I would like a Christmas episode where he joins the Lars family for Christmas.
Or something. I can tell you now, I would hate that. I would hate that so much.
I don't know. I think that'd be bad too, but I don't know. I just think that they're gonna milk it. The one Star Wars thing I'm kind of excited for that's like newer, that's coming out. Because honestly, like, this made me excited to revisit the originals, and that's about it. But it did not make me excited for Andor. Andor looks not great to me. I don't know.
I think it has some promise. I know. I'm setting myself up for failure.
You're totally fine. But like, sometimes I think that, I don't know, if there's not lightsabers in it, it's harder for me to get invested. not because of the lightsabers, but because the Jedi are so interesting. But there's a show coming out where the creator is really excited about it, and it's set like 100 years before Phantom Menace. I can't even remember what it's called.
The High Republic?
Maybe it's called that.
At least that's the era.
Yeah. That sounds cool to me because that's finally Disney trying something that's not connected to people we've seen before.
Yeah, very
cool. And just put them way in the future or way in the back, so or in the past, so we don't need to see more of like, oh my word, he's connected to Obi-Wan, or like all that stuff is getting really old. It's getting tiresome. And we've seen pretty much every single minute of so many people's lives. And I'm just like, I don't care what Luke was like as a little kid. I don't care. I am glad though that the fans are not super mean. They've come that far. They're not super mean to the Leia actress and the Luke actor.
Instead of hating kids, we just hate black people now. It's movement. Gives you hope for the future that eventually they'll move away from black people too.
God. Star Wars fans, there's too many of them for it not to be toxic. It's like the world. If you get enough people, there's going to be people who are awful. On that note. No, but actually, any closing thoughts?
You know, I don't think so. I am excited for some future Star Wars properties after, you know, and we both came in with, you know, with our guards up a little bit for this show. We knew him. We've, you know, we both have maybe some critical opinions of Boba Fett and some, you know, some medium reactions, positive and negative, to The Mandalorian, other things along the way. You know, I'm hopeful for Andor. I'm really excited for the Tales of the Jedi animated series that are coming out, which, I mean, it's just going to be like Clone Wars Season 8, pretty much.
Okay, awesome.
Have you heard
better
much
than
about
the Bad
that?
Batch?
If,
no,
if
this
you
is
don't,
the first time I've heard
you don't know much about it, they're going to have a couple episodes on a young Count Dooku when he's a Jedi.
Nice.
And then you're going to have some of Ahsoka as well in the, looks like the aftermath of the Clone Wars after episode 3.
Amazing.
And it's going to be in the animation style of the Clone Wars. Okay. So we can look forward to that.
Yeah.
And when the Bad Batch probably disappoints for season 2 again, it'll be okay.
Gosh. You can always rewatch the Clone Wars that came out before the other Clone Wars that's on Disney Plus, done by Genndy Tartakovsky. And it's 2D instead of like the CGI 3D. And that's like some of my favorite Star Wars stuff ever.
Very incredible.
It is really good. It's very Saturday morning cartoon, eat your pop flakes as you're watching it.
Get your lightsaber toy from the inside.
Exactly. So if you need some good Star Wars, check out that. Also, I would recommend checking out, look up, if you've never heard of them, I'm going to be a little bit surprised, but that's totally fine. Red Letter Media on YouTube, they have a really good episode, like a 30-ish minutes, where they talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi, the TV show on Disney Plus, and they only review like episodes 1 through 4, but they were like, this is super okay, and like weirdly optimistic about it, and they're the ones who made those really popular videos that were just crapping all over the prequel. So, you know, they're not totally biased, and they're really fun to watch. So watch Red Letter Media, because they're every YouTuber's favorite YouTuber. You know, listen to our other episodes, give us a 5-star review. Thank you for listening. We love suggestions on what you want to hear. So if you ever want to comment on one of our posts or send us a message, send us what you want to listen to, because we've done a lot of Star Wars, and so if you're sick of Star Wars, what else should we do?
Star Trek, probably.
Yeah. We're going to do all Star Trek.
Every individual episode of every individual series. So get ready.
So we'll do something else in 2038. See you guys.